This chapter relates how Lord Krishna worshipped his Brahmin friend Sudama, who came to his palace seeking charity, and how the two of them discussed the pastimes they had shared while living at the home of their spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. The Brahmana Sudama, a personal friend of Lord Krishna's, was completely free of material desires. He maintained himself and his wife with whatever came of its own accord, and thus they were poverty-stricken. One day, Sudama's wife, unable to find any food to prepare for her husband, went to him and asked that he visit his friend Krishna in Dwarka and beg some charity. Sudama was reluctant, but when she persisted, he agreed to go, reflecting that an opportunity to see the Lord was extremely auspicious. His wife begged a few handfuls of flattened rice as a gift for Sri Krishna, and Sudama set off for Dwarka. As Sudama approached the palace of Lord Krishna's principal wife, Rukmini Devi, the Lord saw him from a distance. Krishna immediately rose from his seat on Rukmini's bed and embraced his friend with great joy. Then he sat Sudama down on the bed, washed his feet with his own hands, and sprinkled the wash water on his head. After this, he presented him with various gifts and worshipped him with incense, lamps, and so on. Meanwhile, Rukmini fanned the shadow-dressed Brahmin with a yak-tailed whisk. All of this astonished the residents of the palace. Lord Sri Krishna then took the hand of his friend, and the two of them reminisced about the things they had done together long ago while living in the school of their spiritual master. Sudama pointed out that Krishna engages in the pastime of acquiring education, only to set an example for human society. Is this loud enough to be heard in the back? No. Not really. How is it now? Better? That's a yes, right? I can't see that far back, so just give us a yes or a no. Yes, okay. Shri Raja Vacha,
Shri Raja Vacha,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
Jani,
Jani,
Janyani,
Janyani,
Mukundasya,
Mukundasya,
Atmanah,
Viryani, Viryani,
Ananta,
Ananta,
Viryasya,
Viryasya,
Rotum,
Rotum,
Ichchami,
Ichchami,
Mukundasya Mahatmanah,
Mukundasya
Virya-sya.
Virya-sya.
Whose valor.
Whose valor.
Shrotam.
Shrotam.
To hear.
To hear.
Ischami.
Ischami.
I wish.
I wish.
Hey, Prabhu.
Hey, Prabhu.
O Master.
O Master.
King Parikshit said, my Lord, O Master, I wish to hear about other valorous deeds performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, whose valor is unlimited. Next verse. Konu Shubha Sakrit Brahman Uttama Shloka Satyata Viraneta Vishesha Gyo Vishanda Kama Vardhanai. O Brahma, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification give up the transcendental topics of your Uttama Shloka after hearing them repeatedly? Purport. To the Vishnu Chakravarti comments herein, that we see many persons who, even after hearing the topics of the Lord repeatedly, give up their spiritual dedication. The Acharya replies that the word Vishesha Kya is therefore significant here. Those who have actually understood the essence of life do not give up Krishna consciousness. A further qualification is to be Vishanna, Kamamarga, disgusted with material sense gratification. These two qualities are complementary. One who has experienced the real taste of Krishna consciousness automatically becomes disgusted with the inferior taste of material pleasure. Such a genuine hearer of the topics of Krishna cannot give up hearing about the Lord's fascinating pastimes. Om Atama Chinyam Kasya Kananjana Sharataya Sashuridhitam Kena Tasmai Shri Kurde Naha Shri Chaitanya Navavishram Sthapitam Kena Kurde Ayam Rupa Vatara Nainam Kutahati Svaratam Sandeham Shri Guru Shri Chaitanyam Shri Guru Bhagavan Yani, Shanyani, Mukunda Seva Atmanaha, Very young man, to be just a short term, it's traveling in the world. The sages understood that now the topics concerning Lord Baladev had come to an end. And so now they're expressing their eagerness to hear more topics about Lord Krishna. Ananta Viryasa, the person, not the sages were expressing their eagerness, spiritual parishes expressing his eagerness. The sages, the Lord is Ananta Virya. He has unlimited prowess, unlimited power. And the king, therefore, wanted to hear more about his Viryani, his valorous deeds, a person who's powerful, will perform powerful activities. And he's the personality of Godhead who gives liberation. So, Shrotam is done. I wish to be earth more. Go Nu. Shrutvasakrit Brahman. Uttama Shloka Sarkata. Vira Nata Vishesha. Go Shandra Dhammaraja. Who can desist? Who can leave these topics aside after hearing about them again and again? Material topics heard about again and again become boring, dry, and unpalatable. But, of course, not for the materialists. The materialists can go on chewing and chewing again and again and find out some way to suck out a little bit of a few drops of pleasure and say, yes, that was good. Or like a camel chewing on its own. I'm born with the cut of its tongue and getting a little blood. So the materialists find it difficult to give up material topics. And the devotees find it difficult to give up spiritual topics. It's a rhetorical question. Who could give up? He's not actually asking for an actual answer. What kind of person could give up? But it's a rhetorical question. Who could possibly give up these wonderful topics, subject topics, eternal topics, valuable topics? Who could give up these valuable topics, having heard about them again and again? Uttama shloka saptaka, about the personality of Godhead who's glorified with transcendental verses that are beyond the purview of the material energy. Vishesha Kya. How could one who is Vishesha Kya possibly give up these topics? Vishesha Kya, one who knows the specific characteristics of Krishna, one who knows the essence of life, one who knows how special Krishna is, Vishesha Kya. How could he possibly give up this Satyata? Vishesha Kya and Vishanna Kama Vargamaya. These are the two qualifications mentioned. They're described in the purport as complementary. Vishesha Kya, to appreciate the name, form, all these pastimes of Krishna, and Vishanda, Kama Marga, and to be disgusted with the path of Sanskrit. Dishan, disgusted. Our English word, disgust, disgust part of the word means having a taste. So disgust, an opposite taste, like salt and sweet rice. Nasty taste, most unpalatable. For the materialist, sense gratification is what they have a taste for. Of course, the taste is deceptive because it tastes like nectar in the beginning, but in the end it's like poison. Vishyendriya Samyoga, Samyoga. This is happiness in the world of passion. It seems to be some taste in the flame, but at the end it's just like poison. So a Krishna conscious person realizes this. What taste is there in sense gratification? Just a bad taste. He becomes disgusted. That's difficult for the conditioned soul because we've come here to enjoy. What is that? Ishuralamam bhakti siddhavam bhagavati. We have these two interests, to control the material energy and to enjoy. That's the essence of the material project. And to become disgusted with this project is the qualification of the Krishna conscious person. What can I control? And what is the use of trying to control for my enjoyment? What enjoyment do I get? You realize that what happiness have I gotten from the material energy? What happiness is anyone else getting? We're just getting kicked in the face by a lion. So he becomes disgusted. Yes. Vishana Kalamara. And at the same time, Vishesha, yeah. This helps him become disgusted. A person who has no taste for anything better thinks, well, anyway, something. Or he thinks this is it. The person who has a higher taste, Raso Vajra Masokyasya, probably Chavan, but he knows this is garbage. Why should I take pleasure there? Okoba Bhagavatasya. In the first canto, a similar verse. Transcendental verses. become a measuring rod. Who is there that would refuse to hear about these topics? Yesha Kalimalaka. These glories of the Lord, which are Kalimala and Kalimala, the filth of Kali Yuga, can all be taken away by this transcendental glorification of Krishna. So these books of Krishna consciousness, or these topics of Krishna, are the means for driving away the nastiness of Kali Yuga. People are affected by a nasty civilization. So called civilization, which is not only dull, but nasty. Not only dull, but nasty in so many ways. Kali Yuga deteriorates all the good qualities of the human being. Then you're left with animals in human bodies and vicious animals in God. So this vicious animalistic influence of Kali Yuga can be driven away by human bodies. And therefore, here in Srimad Bhagavatam is essential. Okay, questions? The microphone is working. Grass authority.
Doesn't get it. He gets frustrated and still he tries A, tries B, tries C, tries D. But a fortunate person, a person who's gotten a little of Krishna's mercy, or the mercy of the devotees, or has some background of pious activities, when he becomes frustrated, he gets the idea. Life is frustrating. The world is set up in such a way that I can't enjoy it. He gets it. What is the use of trying to enjoy this world? And if he's still more fortunate, then he thinks, let me turn toward God, let me turn toward spiritual realization. Of course, the mind bodies are on that principle. They try to enjoy this material world, and when they can't enjoy it, they say it's all false. Since I couldn't enjoy it, it's all illusion. Well, at least that's a start. They're frustrated with the material world, they declare it all false, there's no enjoyment here, it's all illusory. Good. But they don't know the positive side. When you're so occasionally karma, the transcendental activities of Krishna, Virya, the unlimited glories of Krishna are not manifest to the mind bodies, you know, because of their attachment to an impersonal idea, or because they're thinking, still I can enjoy, I can merge with the Absolute, I can become one with the Absolute, I can become God, this, that. So, on account of that impiety, after becoming frustrated with Maya, they take up the frustrating path of impersonalism. It's also frustrating because you can't merge with God. You can't become God. So they turn from the path of material frustration to the path of spiritual frustration. You can't even, what is that? But actually both happen to Vishnu because they ignore the lotus feet of Krishna, even if they attain their cherished goal of liberation, they fall down. Frustrated. So the scripture says, who is there who would not hear about the glorious activities of Krishna? And that would become, as you say, a mature devotee. So that he's really disgusted. One way is by frustration, another way is just by appreciation. The relish of Krishna's activities, his name, his form, that was so nice. That what is
that?
What is this nasty business? You know, if you've got cheer and samosas and some other plate of worms in front of you. Just not interested.
Thank you, Maharaj. So is the experience of frustration a necessary prerequisite to fully embrace the path of bhakti?
One doesn't have to go the whole, well, from one point of view, yes. One has to, everyone's trying to enjoy. So, one way is it doesn't work. Or the other way is, it ain't worth anything. Fortunate person, he just says, that. If he's very pious, if he's very fortunate, he looks at that enjoyment and says, why should I do that? But what are people doing for him? He doesn't even take to it. He just looks at it and says, "Hey." That's very fortunate. Otherwise, for most people, fortunate means they try it, it doesn't work, they try it, it doesn't work, they try it, it doesn't work. Then they say, "What is that?" You have to speak unhygienically close into the microphone.
Maharaj, how to develop higher taste?
Hear about Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, associated with devotees of Krishna.
Stories about, like you were reading about Sudama Brahman, how he and his wife broke out food, they were practically starving, and Kula Michal Sridhar hardly anything. So many people were not eating much. I find sometimes that if I miss even one meal, sometimes my energy is quite down, and I'm not able to do much. So I'm wondering about some of these stories about normal people. I mean, they're not normal, they're all wonderful devotees and very powerful, but still the material body is there. And you read about these people who aren't hardly eating. I'm just wondering if there's some secret that they know that I don't, or that there's something that even when you don't have material facilities or you're lacking sleep or lacking food, that you can still have spiritual energy to keep doing what your service is.
One thing is that they weren't out there fighting wars or working like asses. For that, you have to eat big. You have to have a lot of calories to burn up. Sudama Brahmana is a Brahmana. What does he do? He studies, he reads Vedic literature, chants. For that, you don't need for breakfast. So that's one thing. That he's in a low octane engagement. It's not this heavy duty ass work. It's brain work. So it doesn't need a lot of food. And sometimes you need a lot of food. Yes, in a way. If the person is working like an ass, the more food the better. And then they'll work it off in the next 2 hours. But for a scholar or a sage, he sits down with a big spread of food, his mind goes to sleep. And then he's useless for his medical work. So the Brahmins are accustomed to eating less. Now, sometimes it becomes very less. As in the case of Sudama Brahman, practically starving, so that his wife was concerned that the men were shaking the head. But all right, we'd rather starve than take up work in an office or become someone's employee. Last visit to Bombay,
he was so weak. He was also not eating. He was so very weak. But he wanted to come to the program that had been arranged, preaching program. I forget if it was Ramana or wherever it was. And he was so weak that Balaramana and Tamal Krishnamurti had to carry him onto this platform. I mean, like a bag of potatoes, you know, just carrying him off and depositing him on the asana. Then his energy was so less. Then Prabhupada just had, I forget, maybe Balaramana, just read. So he's reading, I think, Second Canto. Reading something reading. And Prabhupada says two or three words. Then reading more, and Prabhupada says a little more. Reading more, and Prabhupada. By the end of the short while, Prabhupada was roaring. Svidvatam, that was the topic. Svadin Dharmos Prakarai Samskutab Purushakrishna. Men who were like hogs, camels, and asses glorified some similar dog, hog, camel, or ass who's not interested in the glories of Krishna. And Prabhupada got so enthusiastic about the topic that he was roaring. This is all to the, you know, non-devotee audience. Of course, the devotees were there. But his focus was the outsiders. So from a starting point of total depletion, he came to the point of just being a tiger. And then he called for questions. And then smashed people right and left. It was fantastic. But my point is, it wasn't that Prabhupada, no, I have to sit in a room with some, you know, that Ramana Andhraya and Sikhi Mahiti and sort of done three or four select devotees and hear selected topics from Bhagavatam, confidential relish. Prabhupada was relishing speaking boldly from Bhagavatam to the public. Svaha, Did, Varaha, Ustra, Karai. Dogs, hogs, camels, asses. That for Prabhupada, that was relishing. Prabhupada said, I want the benediction of being like Arjuna and dying on the battlefield. On the battlefield, not in the select company. No, Bhishma. Arjuna didn't die on the battlefield. So yes, on the other side, we do appreciate Bhagavatam. It's relishable in the company of the devotees. It's also relishable spoken to the public. When it's spoken to the public, they can become purified, then they can also become devotees. What could be better than that? Yes, I'll call them on the
Hare Krishna.
Okay, you're there.
Right. We're discussing the question of Namini. Disgusting or material enjoyment. Disgust. So many times we see with the devotees or ourselves or even to the students when we preach to them, they become very serious. Devotees are very serious in Krishna consciousness. But still, their taste for material enjoyment remains for quite some long time, maybe many years. And maybe sometimes some sinful activities also. But they are very steady in their sadhana bhakti. So at the same time, Bhagavad Gita, there are verses like Api Chetu Sundaraj Rao, Vajante Mamati, one of the Yamaraj telling Yamdutas that devotees generally don't commit sinful activities. But even if they commit, Yamdutas will not go near by them. So how such devotees, they can progress further and actually get over their bad habits of sinful activities or
Does the students especially?
Yeah, I don't understand that story. But that's
the basically, Prabhupada said they should be married. That's the big problem. I mean, what is the big problem with student life? It's a simple three-letter word. Right? It's all about sex. It's all about sex. Our educational system is a system of degradation, which puts young men and very young women together and educates them. Yes, they get an education, but it's not the kind of education that a human being should get. That's the problem of your universities. So, simple thing, they should follow that said in mind. Fine if they go to university, but they should be married. That's the term goes to settle by. Not that everyone will be brahmacharis. If they remain brahmacharis, it's wonderful. Otherwise, you get married, you look like a human being. And check by your strength and all of those things. But don't be a cat or dog. University approved catalog.
Krishna. Maharaj, Hare Krishna. My question is very basic regarding Srimad Bhagavatam.
So your question is very tasty?
Very basic.
Yes, I thought it was very tasty. Good, I could use some tasty questions.
Maybe tasty also. It is written in Mahatma of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is written in the Skanda Purana, in Vishnu Purana, about Srimad Bhagavatam, glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. But whereas I have read that Vyasadeva wrote all the four Vedas, 17 Puranas, and 108 and more plus Upanishads, and even Brahma Sutra before writing this Srimad Bhagavatam. That means he has finished all this work before writing Srimad Bhagavatam. Then how come glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam is there in the Skanda Purana and in the Vishnu Purana? This is the basic question, Maharaj.
Oh. Tasty.
Straight highway to frustration. But
for the devotee, it's a blessing. But my senses don't work for material sense enjoyment.
Good.
Finally. He looks at the situation and says, maybe some beautiful young girl, what beautiful young girl would want to have anything to do with it all? She's in garbage like me. And what kind of enjoyment would I get in my old age? And he looks at the whole thing and says, well, I can't get much happiness from sex, I can't get much happiness from this, I can't get much happiness from that, I can't, the whole body is useless for happiness. Forget that project. But he's happy about it. The project will work. That's wonderful for the devotee. For the person who's detached, it's not a problem at all. It's a good picture. And for the person who's attached, it's misery.
But Maharaj, besides enjoyment, I'm asking about the pain, all physical part. So how in the physical part one develops that taste to go on and on for spiritual life? Because as far the pain is concerned,
you really want to get off the bodily platform. Prabhupada taught us, you're not this body. What better time to realize that than when you're feeling pain? Pain means by association with this body and association with the mind. When the material is intensely identifies with his body and he's focused on what his body is feeling, he wants it to be feeling wonderful stuff. But instead, that body that is on whose senses he's so focused is sending him messages of misery. And he's paying attention to those messages. He's focused on every pinprick he feels. This is me. But if I'm not this body, then the pain doesn't pertain to me. Pertains to this body, which I'm not. And it's felt by the mind, which I'm not. So it's an impetus for the devotee to detach himself, not only in theory, but in practice or fact, from this body. We all do that, as we have the experience of being detached from the body. In the course of our natural life, but it doesn't stick. For example, how many people have gone through some papers, files, and this and that, and only after you finish your work do you realize that you've got a paper cut? You know what paper cut is? Have you had that experience? That after the work is done, you realize that you've got a paper cut, or you were running, and only after you finished the race did you realize that you your ankle or whatever it was. Only after you finish the work did you realize, and then you feel pain. Then you feel pain. Why? Because now your mind is on it. As long as your mind was on something else, you didn't feel it. But now that your mind is no longer engaged, so a person in old age or any time who's subject to pain would do very well to turn his mind away from the body and toward Krishna, toward the spirit, soul, and ultimately toward Krishna. What does this pain have to do with me? Why should my mind be focused on that? You can imagine Krishna, he was in pain. Wasn't eating, wasn't drinking. That causes pain to the body. But he said, I'm not feeling it. Because I'm drifting the stem. So if I don't want to feel it, I am feeling it, but
appreciate that. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaji. We are discussing this frustration part. Probably spiritual life also, makes efforts, he fails. So, it can come in spiritual life also.
Frustration, but Rupa Goswami, there's two ways of dealing with frustration in spiritual life. One is to give up, and one is to keep going. To give up is the path of sense gratification. I can never access Krishna consciousness, I'm bold, and that's just self-indulgent, because it's contrary to the interest of serving Krishna. I just tie myself, I just beat myself up and say that I'm useless, and all right, you're useless, to get up and serve Krishna. And Rupa Goswami or Prabhupada gave the example that as a person who falls on the ground picks himself up by the same ground, Krishna on the ground picks himself up. So the person who fails in devotional service should pick himself up by the same devotional service. In material life, if you fail, then you perform a yajna or you do some prayashtrita. But for spiritual life, there's nothing better than devotional service. So if you fail in devotional service, there's nothing else to do. Just carry on with devotional service and keep at it. And Prabhupada said, practice makes perfect. How many of you here have experience with riding a bicycle? Everyone. And that means everyone learns. And how many people, when you were learning, never fell? I know for me, the whole process of learning to ride a bicycle was the process of going a few feet and falling. And then going a few feet again and falling. It's how do you keep that bike straight and not fall to one side or the other side or crash this way or that way. The whole process of learning to ride a bicycle is the process of falling down. But if you stick with it, then you become expert. You don't fall this way, you don't fall that way. You see what you did wrong, you get it straight, you watch others. Then after a while, it becomes a good pleasure. You can ride your bicycle or go wherever you want. And as fast as you want. So, if one fails in devotional service, all right, it may be frustrating. Let me carry on. And time has run out.